member of the Board of Education according to the best of your ability. We will now do the election of officers. I'm going to open the floor for nominations for president of the board.
I'd like to nominate Congressman President.
Can I get a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any other nominations? Are there? Close the motion.
Okay, this is mine again? Thank you, colleagues. We need nominations for vice president of the board. Seconds?
I second.
Any other nominations? All those in favor?
Aye.
Congratulations, Howard.
Thanks, Ben.
Congratulations. Okay, this is the reorganization, reorganization meeting. There's a lot of, many, many small things that have to be done. I'll get through them as quickly as possible. If it's okay with everyone, I would like to take it in large sections. So section 4 in our agenda says appointment of officers. And I'd like to read through them and vote on them as a block. Appointment clerk of the board, recommend the board appoint Kate Madison as clerk of the board. And this is all for the period of July 1st through June 30th, 2012. Appointment of district treasurer, recommend the board appoint Beth Coates. And recommend the board appoint Lori Kenny as deputy treasurer. Item C, appointment of school tax collector, recommend the board appoint Kathleen Erickson as a school tax collector. And item D is appointment of internal claims auditor, recommend the board appoint Susan Warnke. And recommend the board appoint Susan Warnke as internal claims auditor for the school lunch program. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any discussion? I'm sorry, did we need a second? I'm sorry. We need a second first.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Under item 5, other appointments, appointment of school physician, recommend the board appoint the Family Health Center as school physicians. Again, this is the period of July 1st, 2011 through June 30th, 2012. Appointment of school attorney, recommend the board appointment of Gervin and Ferlazzo. Appointment of central treasurer and controller, recommend the board appoint Lynn McNeil. Recommend the board appoint Tammy Silverman as controller for extracurricular activities and Colleen Lester as alternate controller. Appointment of attendance officer, recommend the board appoint Catherine Corbin. E, appointment of records management officer and records access officer, recommend the board appoint Lori Kenny. Item F, appointment of insurance consultant, recommend the board appoint W. Joseph McPhillips Agency. G, appointment of independent auditor, recommend the board appoint Jenkins, Beecher, and Bethel, certified public accountants. Appointment of Title IX in Section 504 officers, recommend the board appoint Thomas Silvernell. And Kathy Fields, I'm sorry, Tammy Silvernell as Title IX officer and Kathy Fields as a 504 officer. Item I, appointment of asbestos LEA designee, recommend the board appoint Ray Duran. Appointment of chief information officer, recommend the board appoint Elena Henderson. And K, recommend the board appoint Kate Madison as system administrator for the WinCap financial software. Any second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
No vote.
Can I interrupt one instant?
Yep.
When we get to the regular board meeting, since we're at the business meeting tonight, we can eliminate the July 18th meeting as a regular board meeting.
Okay.
But I want the board to remember that we have the workshop on the 25th. The board workshop. That'll be over at the district office. That's not a board meeting. It's not on this. Since we're having the board meeting tonight, we don't need...
Four and one extension. Before we move on, are you going to send an agenda for that meeting? Time and...
For the 25th?
Yeah.
Yeah, when Jeff, I'm going to get together with Jeff negotiations next Friday. We'll talk about it.
Thank you.
Please use the microphones. Get your...
Your buttons, man.
Thank you.
Is that getting through?
You might need to turn the volume on.
Nobody has ever told me I don't have a big voice. Okay, how's that? Item six, under designations. A, official bank depositories. Recommend the board designate Glens Falls National Bank and Trust Company and Chase Manhattan Bank, again for the period of July 1st, 2011 through June 30th, 2012. And we have a list of regular board meeting dates, which will be available to the public. I don't think I have to read all through all these now. We've eliminated the July 18th meeting. C, official newspaper. Recommend the board designate the Eagle, the Post Star, and the Bennington Banner as official newspapers. Broadcasting media. Recommend the board designate WGY, WROW, News Channel 13, WRGB, News Channel 6, Fox 23, Channel 10, Capital News 9, as broadcasting media for school closings. And I need a second on this. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
No opposed. Item seven, authorization, certification of payroll. Recommend the board authorize the superintendent of schools to certify all payrolls for the period of July 1 through 2011 through June 30th, 2012. Purchasing agent, recommend the board authorize Beth Coates to act as purchasing agent. Item C, attendance at workshops and conferences. Recommend the board authorize the Board of Education members to attend approved workshops and conferences with expenses. And two, under item C, recommend the board authorize the superintendent to approve expenses of faculty and staff to attend conferences within budgetary allotments for the same period. Item D, petty cash. Recommend the board authorize and establish a petty cash fund of $300 to cover gate receipts for the business office and $150 for the lunch fund. Item E, designation of signatures on checks. Recommend the board designate signatures of Beth Coates, district treasurer, or Lori Kenny, deputy treasurer, on district checks. Item F, budget transfers. Recommend the board authorize the superintendent of schools to approve budget transfers in accordance with policy number 6150. Item G, contracts and grants and aid. Recommend the board authorize the superintendent to sign contracts and apply and sign for grants and aid. Item H, collection of school taxes. Recommend the board authorize Glens Falls National Bank and Trust Company, the Cambridge branch, to collect district tax payments at no charge as a service to the school district and taxpayers. Item I, bonding of personnel. Recommend the board authorize faithful performance blanket position bond in the amount of $50,000 for the district treasurer, $100,000 for the district tax collector, and $10,000 for all employees responsible for district funds. Again, for the period of July 1, 2011 through June 30th, 2012. I need a second.
Second.
Any discussion on any of those items? All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Other items, which is number eight on our agenda. Payroll schedule. Recommend the board adopt a payroll schedule of biweekly payments for the period of July 1, 2011 through June 30th, 2012, as agreed to by the Cambridge Faculty Association and the CSEA local unit. Item B, mileage rates. Recommend the board establish the current IRS mileage rate for authorized personnel and members of the Board of Education for use of private vehicles on district business. And there's no number there.
It changes. Like it just changed July 1st. It'll change again January 1st.
Okay. So we're just okaying you to...
Just saying that we're going to use the IRS rate.
Okay. C, substitute teacher rate. Recommend the board establish a daily rate for substitute teachers for this period. Certified teachers, $90 per day. 4 years degree with no certification is $75 per day. Less than 4 years with no certification is $60 per day. Item D, tuition rate. Recommend the board set the non-resident regular school tuition rate for the 2011-12 school year based on the Seneca Falls formula for full day K through 6, $4,384, and full day grades 7 through 12, $6,523. Item E, policies and code of ethics. Recommend the board readopt all policies and code of ethics in effect. And item F, indemnification and legal defense resolution. Recommend the board approve the indemnification and legal defense resolution for this same period of July 1st, 2011 through June 30th, 2012. And I need a second.
Second.
Second from Howard. Any discussion, questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Adjourn to the reorganization meeting. Business meeting, July business meeting to order. And I look for approval of minutes of the June 20th regular board meeting, the June 21st vote results, the June 27th special meeting, and the June 29th project vote results.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
There are a couple items before we go on with the agenda. There are no administrative or superintendent reports, but I do want Bud to talk a little bit about what we're going on, and I asked Randy to show up for clarification for some of the other things. But before we get going, the Albany Business Review has come out again. The only copy that I have of the whole report, Mr. Severson went to Albany and picked up for us. So I photocopied the pages that are in the board packets. And those are the ones with the rankings. This year, we are 15 out of the 91 schools that were ranked. We were at 11 last year. We dropped down to 15. There are other things that we can go over in the future, and I'm sure we're going to spend a little bit more time when we get to the budgeting. But the one thing in the one section when it talks about tax and spending, and it's comparing the 91 school districts in the Albany area, what I did was I pulled out all the BOCES. That's that other little Excel spreadsheet that I handed out to the board. I pulled out all the districts that are in the BOCES, the three at the bottom, Indian Lake, Minerva, and Newcomb aren't in the survey because they're so small. But I also added Hoosick Falls and Hoosick Valley just to get an idea of where we fell. With our taxes on a $300,000 home, we ranked 21 out of all the districts way behind Hoosick Falls and Hoosick Valley. As a matter of fact, the only district in Washington County that pays less in taxes on school taxes is Whitehall. And that's on page 10 on the Albany Business Review. If you want to go into detail on that, that's the one that I handed out. Yep. That's the information I pulled off those sheets. Again, the handout was just to prepare everybody where we fall with other districts within our BOCES and our two neighboring districts that are not in our BOCES district. The whole thing is available online too if anybody wants to go on. And I found it by going to Bing and typed in all the business review and then clicked on it. And it gives you the details of how it goes or if anybody wants to read the entire report. But the rankings are what usually is discussed. If everybody else wants to know, just as a summary, when it came to the district ranking, we were 15th out of 91. For financial, that's the taxing and spending, we were 54th out of 91. Superintendent salaries, we were 50th out of 91. And teacher ranking with their pay and benefits, it's 73rd out of 91. So the first one that we want to be high on, or a low number, is the district ranking 15th, and we did well. And the others are all below half.
So the return on investment is very good, then?
Yes, that's usually what the indication is. I mentioned the workshop on the 25th. That's a workshop, so it's just involving the board members, our lawyer, and myself. So that's not open to the public, but that will be on the 25th in the district office. I will send more information when Jeff gets it to me. We have a negotiations meeting on the 15th, Friday, with the CFA. Again, that's a closed meeting, but we have had board representatives at that meeting. It's 9:30 in the morning at the district office. If two individuals would like to go, let me know. If we have more than two, that is a concern, because if we get a quorum at the meeting.
What's it?
It is Friday, July 15th at 9:30.
How would you been attending those?
I have, but I can't on this one. I told Vince that I have a program that day in the community group, so I won't be able to go, but that opens up something for someone else.
Deb, Paul, and Howard have been at some of the meetings, so if anybody can make it on the 15th.
I will try and make it.
You don't have to. We don't have to have a board member at the table, but we have this negotiation session. Always have at least one board member.
Jan, Lillian, either of you interested in attending?
Yes, sir.
Well?
Yeah, I won't be able to come.
You'll be around, okay. So it will...
9:30 is the when it starts, but usually show up a little early, 9 o'clock if you're here. We'll sit with Jeff, go through that. Let's see. The last thing that I have before I ask Bud to speak, at one of the meetings we asked about contacting the surrounding districts. I've contacted all three of the superintendents, Hoosick Falls, Salem, and Greenwich. Salem board has spoken, or the superintendent has spoken with the Salem board, and they're willing to sit and talk with us, but they have their next meeting at 7 on 7/20. It's a Wednesday, I think it's July 20th. July 20th is a Wednesday, and they would like to have a discussion between 6 and 7 before their regular board meeting. Now, we had said that we were going to do Mr. Romanek and Mr. Borzinski, myself. If we want to just send the three of us, that's fine. If we want to meet as a board or go up, it depends on what the topic of discussion is. Most of the time, consolidation involves elimination of staff. If that's the case, it will be an executive session meeting. If it's not, if it's just a general discussion of some sort of consolidation, we try to do as much transportation and special ed as we can now. But if it's just a general topic, it cannot be an executive session. So we have to let the board know, Salem board know as to what direction we want to head. The advantage of a consolidation, if we do any building project, we get 95% aid on it, and we would get an additional 40% operating aid for 10 years. So that's, you know, usually the thing that would be the enticing part. Governor Cuomo has talked about any schools less than 1,000 students should have these discussions. We're both under it. Salem is, I think they're 560 next year. Will be about 9:20, 9:30. So.
I think we were talking about district consolidation.
Yeah. Well, we've already said
we've wasted a lot of time talking about transportation. And
yep. Well, we've been meeting the superintendents with Greenwich, Salem, Argyle, and Cambridge, trying to do something with shared services from the standpoint of distance learning classes and things like that. We just have to. There's a grant that's out there, and right now we have not been able to work out the details of the schedule. And that's the hardest thing. If we have a schedule that does not line up, then someone from one of the schools, when you have a distance learning class, is going to miss two periods. And that's the biggest stumbling block that we've had with that. But Salem's the only one that has gotten back to us. The other two, Greenwich and Hoosick Falls, have yet. Ken said, from Hoosick Falls, said he would bring it to his board. And Matt, I believe he said the same thing. I'm trying to think of the email because I didn't have a verbal.
There's not any complexity that is involved because it's cross-county with Hoosick Falls?
Hoosick Falls will be an issue because we would be consolidating with a school district in another BOCES. It's not crossing county, is crossing BOCES. We still can, if we had stuff to share services-wise or whatever, that could be done, but if you're going to combine or consolidate school districts, crossing BOCES usually becomes an issue.
Well, disagree with you, gentlemen, ladies, but I think we wanted to consider all hospitals, yep, including...
That's what I had said, no, but I wasn't sure if it was going to... I would think at this point it's a general conversation, there aren't specifics, but if it is specifics, it could be something as simple as one superintendent, so you might want to have a conversation without Carrie or myself there.
This is consolidation for the whole school, or just specific?
Well, what we had said originally was services, buildings, or districts. And it is just at the discussion stage at this point.
Does that require an executive session just to be conceptual?
You cannot go into executive session unless you're talking about eliminating staff. That's what they said they would be willing to have it however we wanted to do it. It was open session.
I wouldn't think we'd be getting down to those kind of details.
Yep. That's what I said.
I think just be open in general, okay. And what are they thinking? I mean, they have the smaller district.
Yep. Okay. So we'll accept for an open session. Okay.
Yes?
Mm-hmm. When is this going to be?
That would be July 20th at 6 o'clock at Salem.
And what day of the week is that?
That's a Wednesday. That's the next board meeting.
Okay, I work till 7 at night. So we need somebody, we need as many people there as possible. Thank you. Everybody check
that's
the calendars and get back to the calendar.
All right. Well, before I get back to them, then let me know.
Yes. And then everybody should check their calendars tonight when they get home.
Okay.
I'll let you know tomorrow.
Yeah, I cannot do the 20th.
If you can have a discussion with them, let's say after the meeting, I can get up there.
So after the board meeting?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll let her know that. Next leads us up to the update on Excel and Windows, and I also asked Bud to address the change orders that are in the contract, because we had some questions last time. Bud?
Excel mechanically proved itself on graduation and awards night. It functioned really well in the gymnasium. The data side of Excel is wrapping up with a bunch of stages, adding a few data drops. And as you can see, the window portion of Excel is in progress and actually moving along quite nicely. One of the first milestones was to be off the nurse's low run of windows right for the stairwell by 7-1, and they met that date. And their progress, they'll meet the dates they've given me, which is this summer. By 8-10, which is pretty aggressive. They can be totally off the front and back of this building. The conditions are right, and it's a good installation. You know, it's probably, we're not trying to do it under occupied times. These guys really have kind of owned the place, is what I call it. And it's working, it's moving along nicely.
Bud, I have a question. So there's a bunch of screws along where the windows are put in. Is there trim that goes over that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Our trim crew is going to start now and come back through getting oak sills down and flashings and wrapping up the ceilings and the windows.
Where are the slate sills going to be placed?
They are, I've been asked that question a number of times. They're a part of the asbestos abatement, hazardous materials abatement. The caulk that they used, I'm pretty sure is the PCB caulk. They should be removed by our abatement contractor.
Can the caulk be removed from the slate?
I'm sure it could be, but you know, we'd have to have the contractor do that. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily, he's allowed to take out units, get rid of units, and not necessarily scrape caulk off.
I guess my answer is, where is the slate going when it's off the building?
It's part of the contractor's responsibility to dispose of it.
Could it be a sidewalk at his house?
A lot of them are flaking. if you take a close look at them, they're starting to separate. So I know what you're saying, but...
Oh, no, they're actually odd shapes, yeah. For sure.
Any questions on the windows or any part of Excel?
So August 10th, the windows will be up?
Is the date, because he's giving me to make it around the back. There's got to be some legal room here. I mean, that's a nice aggressive date. But, in August, if we're in the back, the thrust here is get off the front, get off the bus loop, be done with it, and follow right around the back. So if in late August he's up on that high roof getting wrapped up, he's out of everybody's way.
Right.
That's going to be awesome. I'm going to hold to the 10th, but it gives us some fluff.
Right.
So all the parts and pieces are arriving as they should be, so looking pretty good. Change orders. You will be receiving one that is a... what I did with the two air handling units is I split them up. The condensing units you'll see are by each of those. It used to be the pocket door columns. The original design had these units being piped down the side of the building, which would have looked like, a North Jersey chemical plant. And what I did is I had them revamp the piping to go inside those chases and pop out into each condensing unit, which are going to get fenced in. So it'll be. I just think it's better overall insulation on the outside of the building. So for splitting the slab, they've submitted a change order for that. It's $2,087. We've also added a number of data drops based on the technology gurus' recommendations between Steve, Mike Radlick, and the needs of the school. So that's one change order that's in here. And this is contingency money that's built into the contract, so the money's there. So if we need the function, it's an order request is what I call it. And then the last change order is our $100,000 project that we bid, and it came in over budget, but we don't want to lose the project. So our architect has negotiated with the low bidder to do a credit change order for a portion of the project that gets us under $100,000. We had a lot of doors and hardware, all perimeter doors, all those gymnasium doors that are in terrible shape, and hardware to go with the panic bars. And we had to take some of that back out to get under $100,000. So that's what the third change order is.
So the change order is a reduction in scope?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yep. And it'll be with their contract, this change order will be attached right to it, so it's all happens at the same
right.
time.
That was a $144,000 bid that we approved.
Yes.
2 weeks ago.
Okay. Yeah. And the amount of the change order credit decrease is $46,904. That puts us at $97,546. And we want to take advantage of the small projects, the $100,000 projects every time. So, any questions?
I think the windows look great.
I think they do too. Mm-hmm. It feels really nice and color.
I actually got a big smile on my face when I drove by the school this morning.
Thanks.
Those are the when we get the new business, D, E, and F, basically the changes. I asked Randy to come to speak to the transportation letter K. We had a opinion from the lawyer, and I had forwarded that to everyone. It basically. Because there's no miles eligible student at this point, we have to meet three criteria in order to continue transporting the students. We do not meet one of them. And let me quote from the letter so we get it. It says, this is the lawyer, Jeff Honeywell from Gurman and Palazzo. Therefore, in my opinion, the district has no legal authority to transport the children who live more than 15 miles from the non-public school from their residence to that non-public school. So it goes back to the same recommendation as last time when we get to that item. But I asked Randy to come in during the questions specific to this time, because last time we had a couple of questions. I don't know if there's anything in particular that you wish to discuss with them, or do you want to speak, Randy, based on what we
Basically, all I can say is my recommendation was based on state education law, and Jeff is just reiterating directly from the book what I had to decide. My hands are kind of tied. They are tied because we have to abide by the law, and the law is explicit as far as dictating our obligations as a district. It's 15 miles home to school. And that also applies to students who want to attend a private school. If you have one student who is in that eligibility zone, which we have had with this particular school for a number of years, anybody else that wishes to go there, even though they're outside, you know, by 18 to 22 or 23 miles, they may go based on that one student's eligibility. We've had this situation happen once in the past, 5 years ago, with a school called the Adirondack School in Schuylerville. And we had four or five students who were attending there, but two of the students from one family were the only ones in the eligibility zone. And, you know, we ended up with some very upset parents, and I understand that. And I feel badly for the parents this time around also, but it is state law. There are a couple of things that fiscally can be not very good for the district. You know, we transportation in the school districts across the state are funded very well. They're the best funded budgets in any school district, anywhere from, I don't know what the bottom number is, but it can be up to 90%. Our particular district, we get 75% funding on our budget. When you have, if you were put into a position, you know, just as a for instance, if the district decided to extend this mileage limit and supersede the state's numbers, that would be fine and dandy. The district would make us obligated to do this, but the transportation would not be able. So we would get nothing if. For instance, I threw this together today. If we had anywhere from one to, say, five students that decided a family was in the eligibility zone to go to, say, a private school in Mechanicville, which right now is outside of the 15 miles, if one went and we were able to use a van, we would have to hire a staff member, and between the benefits and the pay and the cost for the vehicle over the 183 days, you're talking $25,000 to $30,000. It's not aidable. That comes directly from the district taxpayers out of the tax levy. And as you know, $77,000 equals 1% of the tax levy. So it would only take once you open that gate, and because I get calls every year from that would like, they're inquiring about this type of transportation, and many times there are only a few of those type of schools that are within the 15 miles. You know, if you had four or five kids and you were using a big bus for that same type of run because the cost per mile is higher on the bus as opposed to a van, you could be looking up to $50,000 for transportation that would be non-able for that 1 year. So fiscally, I don't believe it's in the...
But Randy, you're talking fiscally, you're using an example of going to Mechanicville.
Right.
Without, you're saying, today we don't go to Mechanicville. In this example, we'd be bringing five people to Mechanicville, it wouldn't be aidable. But let's talk about reality. How many children are going to Bennington today, or last year?
We had about 15.
15, and how many went to Grace versus... the other one.
I would say closer to 20. What's divided up was probably five going to Southshire and 15 going to Grace Christian.
So 20. And how many buses traveled to Bennington?
Two, actually. One in the morning, one in the afternoon. Mm-hmm.
Right. So one bus or... Right. Okay. So, Neville, I would think of that as one bus going back.
Right, exactly. It would be one bus run.
Right. So next year, how many buses will be going to Bennington?
We have one. Yeah.
We'll be going the same trip.
That's
right?
Correct.
So the same trip. So fiscally, what's the delta between last year and next year?
Well, you'll have you'll have five students who are fully able for that trip, and the other 14 are not able. So you're now upside down.
So let's say the 14 don't go.
We'd have full aid on that school bus. If the 14...
Full... So, that okay, so I'm not... So
the way they do it is that if a student is not eligible, it's considered a non-allowable pupil decimal line. And that's what, when Randy said the districts get paid as much as 90%, ours lowers based on the non-allowable miles that we travel. So if we were to take a bus with 20 students,
right,
and five are eligible, and transport just those five, 100% of that aid would be transatable. If we add 15 students, now only 25% of that trip will be aidable. It doesn't matter if we only go 5 miles more.
So you lose, we lose 75%.
Yeah, right.
But then it also lowers all of our pupil decimal miles, and that would probably affect us getting 75% this year to 73 next year. So it does have an adverse overall effect.
So if we, and so last year, where were the bus was picking children up at their home and bringing them to Bennington?
When you have an eligible student, those that aren't eligible are allowed to ride the buses into the central pickup point, which is the school.
If they're on an existing bus route.
If they're on an existing bus route and they ride in here and they gather together and get on, transfer onto the private school bus and go from here at 5 minutes.
Right. So, okay. So last year you picked everybody up here.
Right.
And so, right. So there's... So I'm just trying to point out the reality is, just so the public understands, that there's nothing that's changing except
the one student is no longer eligible.
Right. So but physically the travel, there's nothing changing. To be clear. Nothing's changing.
That's right.
Except the aidability will change drastically.
Right. And it's just the fact that we're following education law.
So I actually looked up, I noticed when we went through the children that there was one child in at 120 Brownell, this was from memory, so I could be wrong, although I don't think so. So what's the lowest distance now of the remaining?
18.3. You know, the students that have...
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was more like 15.9.
No, it's 18.3. Yeah. The caveat could have been if the central pickup point had been within 15 miles of the Grace Christian School, we would have been able to, and we had transported there in the previous 3 years, we would have been able to provide transportation and we've been fine. But because we're 17.4 miles from the school, the ageability goes out the window also.
So it's seven?
Our public school was in within the 15 mile range, then we could have still done it for 3 years. Mm-hmm. But we don't, in Jeff's letter, there are three criteria. We don't meet the one criteria that our common public pickup place point. It's got to be a public school. We're the only public school in Cambridge. That is what, 17.4 miles. So it's outside the 15. If that was within the 15, then we could still continue.
I know. I'm just the humor in this is that these children were all driving in the opposite direction to Cambridge. So in reality, whoever the child was that lived within 15 miles was actually traveling 25 miles.
Right, because they were riding the bus.
They had to ride 5 miles in and then
the
go back
That's
out.
Right. Yep. Yep.
So. If we didn't have that one eligible student, then nobody would have been eligible for the past however many years we've done it, though. So if you look at it from that standpoint, we wouldn't have been doing this for how many years have we been doing it?
A long time.
Over 10.
Yeah, it's longer than that because we actually had Grace Christian kids. And I'm not sure it was called Grace Christian at that time, but we were transporting them. and by private carrier back in the mid to late 80s before we brought it. There were enough kids to bring it in-house.
So now we're going to take a bus for five kids, go to Bennington and back. It'll be aidable, but it won't be green.
We'll try to make it a smaller bus.
That's right.
We picked up a bus from Hudson Falls again. That's a smaller passenger bus. So hopefully we can.
Yeah, we actually have enough vans and Suburbans and what have you that we can accommodate them without taking a big bus over there.
This is Jimmy. This is sort of an administrative report. We'll have a discussion when we get to that item. Okay, but this is our discussion. Okay.
There's Q&A at the end.
So that's where we are. Unfortunately, it's one of those things where, like you're saying, in reality we have no one to go in Mechanicville, but if we agree to do this, it opens it up to anybody that wants to go. We may be transporting students to Spot Catholic, because if we agree to transport these students, then what's the limit? What's the criteria?
Now, I just want the public record to show that nothing has changed.
Right.
Absolutely nothing has changed.
No, this is the foolish part of education. That's part of the discussion I had with Lillian earlier about something else. Education, you're talking state education department and logic. They're not always on the same page. And this is one of those issues.
So it's educational intelligence then?
Yeah.
Oxymoron.
Bennington, yes, is less. How many to Bennington where we're going now? How far is that?
From the front parking lot, it's 17.4 miles here.
That's to Bristol.
South where we're going to Southshire.
I'm not sure. It's probably four and a half miles less than going all the way over to Grace.
So that brings us really to 10 miles even further.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I'm sure we'll have more when we get to item K. We don't have a place here for board reports, but I would like to take a second. One of the prerogatives of being president of this austere group is that you get to go and be part of graduation in sixth grade moving up, and I would like to thank both principals for allowing me to do that. It was fun. I'm sorry, Colleen, but I have to give credit to Tammy. 53-minute graduation from start to finish. And it was good. And Bud, the room was, I remember going to two graduations in that room back in the 90s, and it was awful.
2 years ago.
It was awful, and it was very comfortable. And I think everybody else was, too. So thank you, everybody. It was, both of them were wonderful.
So you like them shorter.
I like them short and sweet. You did actually awards and graduation.
I know.
Moving up the same.
Had I combined those two, it would have been.
Trying to give you credit. Okay, new business. Item A, consider approval of the consent agendas as listed in the consent agenda for personnel and consent agenda for new business. Any of approval?
We need to make a change. Tammy's date is wrong. It should be March 17th.
It's kind of a retroactive back to when she started.
So what's the date?
March 17th.
Instead of July 8th, it should be March 17th.
That's the top item on the last page.
And that would end March 16th, 2014.
Okay, with the change for the high school principal position, the dates will now be March 17th, 2011, probationary period, March 17th. March 17, 2011 to March 17, 2014.
Second
from Paul. Any discussion on any of these? I guess I explained to the very last one. Recommend the board approve memorandum of agreement to sign an associate member as teaching assistant.
The MOAs that are on the bottom of the list, those are the ones that are not within the contracts. So we have to have those as of July 1st. The bottom one, it says recommend board approval of memorandum of agreement to assign an associate member, association member. It's a teaching assistant. Greenwich, we have a student that goes to Greenwich. They do not have teaching assistants. In the student's IEP, they needed a teaching assistant. So we worked out an agreement with the two unions that the individual will ride the bus with the student over to Greenwich, stay with them all day, and then ride the bus back, as opposed to having two different members, one from each unit, ride the bus over and then stay with them all day. And then, so one individual, that it's for a handicapped student.
Any other questions besides mine? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No opposed. Item B, recommend approval of the following resolution. Be resolved that the Board of Education of Cambridge Central School approves authorization of the following people to have access to the safe deposit box at Glens Falls National Bank, and Kate Madison, District Clerk, and Beth Coates, Treasurer. Second?
Second.
Second from Howard. Mm-hmm. Any discussion? Both trustworthy people. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No opposed. Recommend the board, item C, recommend the board approve the contract between Durbin Palazzo PC and the Cambridge Central School District for the 2011-12 school year. Need a second?
Yes.
Second from Lillian. And the fees are the same?
Yep.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
No discussion?
Aye.
No?
Are we locked into that? Maybe you're in your lines?
Usually within a year, we can, I mean, at the end of each year, we have a major issue where we have to change it, yes, we can change it. But usually it's annually, so it would be next year that we would make a choice.
Okay, any other questions? All those in favor?
Yes.
No opposed. And these are the three change orders. I'll read them all, cited in DPNF. First change order, GC01 with LG White & Sons General Construction, the amount of $97,546. Remember, that's the reduction from $144,000 on $100,000 project. The next one. Item E is recommend the board approve change order 3-03 and 3-04 with Kamali Group in the amount of $15,750 for change order 303 and data drops and $6,227.26 for change order 304 for labor material and equipment for the Excel project. And item F is recommend the board approve the change order 1-03 with NEP Glass in the amount of $2,087.40 for contract time extension for the Excel project.
So,
any further or buts gone? I hope there's no more questions. All those in favor?
Aye.
No opposed. Item G, recommend the board declare the following items as surplus. 51 Spanish textbooks published by McDougall Litton, a teacher's edition, a set of audio tapes, and two video tapes. Need a second?
Second.
Somebody want to learn Spanish? Good way to do it.
Are we not doing Spanish?
These are probably
this is
updated.
The older edition. We're still doing Spanish. This is an older edition.
We have to, Lillian, we have to take action on this. They can't just chuck it without telling us, basically.
It's an older
it's public property. Any other questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
And then we do have a whole bunch of field hockey equipment to declare as surplus. And I won't read all of those, but it'd be a good way to get a field hockey team started. So I recommend approval of all those items in item H being declared surplus.
Can I ask a question about this?
First, give me a second.
Second.
Second. Thank you. Okay, now you can ask.
I thought it was the other second. So did we buy like a whole new field hockey outfit? This looks
this
quite
was
extensive.
When we had field hockey. These were the team uniforms and they're equipped. We no longer have field hockey. They asked us last year, actually Skylarville wanted to buy some of our stuff last year and we couldn't. And I said to Deb, let's see if we can get it going again. And there's just nothing that we can, the interest just isn't there. So rather than, and I, this was one of the comments with Lillian, the stuff changes with what's acceptable by Section 2, that it's better to sell it if we can get anything out of it than just let it sit around and even use it in gym classes.
So, yeah, sell it to some school with orange and black colors?
Usually. There's a couple in the area.
But anybody out there in the public wants to start a field hockey team, this is the way to do it. So all those in favor?
Aye.
No opposed. Recommend, item I, recommend the board accept the results of the vote of June 21, 2011 on the 2011-12 budget. Second from Paul. Questions, comments? I'm glad it passed. Really, thank you to everybody in the public who voted yes, and I hope the people that voted no come around to realizing it was the right thing to do. All those in favor?
Aye.
No opposed. Recommend the board accept the results of the vote of June 29th, 2011 on the building project. Any second? Second from Lillian. Any questions, comments? I, for one, am disappointed in the library. I'm sure everybody else is, but I'm the one that's going to say it. I'm glad we had the opportunity to show the public that we're going to do a good job with what they did allow, give us money to do. And I hope that will mean that we can get other projects done in the future. We have to prove ourselves, and I think we can use this project to do that. So that puts the onus on us, all the people at the front desk here. The next step is the building committee getting going.
We're going to reconvene and have discussions, and the architect has to get the drawings into SED now.
So we're on our way, and that's why I was glad to see the windows out front today. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
No opposed.
And before we go to the next one, I'd like to object to protocol. I think they were going to make comments about the bus, and we never, we will have voted without allowing that to happen.
I'm going to deal with that. Okay. I think you're right. Okay, before, we are going to discuss item K next, and I think there's people here that want to give us some input before. So I am going to change protocol and allow you folks to say something about that. So anybody who has anything to say about item K, which is the transportation request to Grace Christian, please do so now.
Can we see that letter that the attorney wrote?
Can we get a copy of it?
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Are we going to have that?
Oh, great. Thank you.
You had said that you're not legally obligated to transport within the 15, because we're beyond the 15 miles, right? But out of the graciousness of your hearts, even though you say you're going to lose money somehow, you've been doing it for over 10 years, and it's only a couple miles, and you are going to Bennington. It'd be different if you weren't going, and I would have no ground to stand on here. But you are going to Bennington anyway.
Let me explain it the way I think I understand.
Can I just finish my thought here? And the superintendent had said, you know, well, if we allow transportation to Grace, then we're going to have to allow it to all these other schools who are outside 15 miles. Well, I don't agree with that, because you're voting here for this particular school. If another school came and they were outside your 15 miles, then you could sit there and you could vote yes or no. But you have that option. So it's not like you've got to transport everybody else outside the 15 miles just because you vote yes to road race.
If we extend the 15 miles, we have to. We cannot say no to anybody.
Well, that's if you extend it. I mean, you have to extend it in writing. Is it a vote? Do you vote upon?
Well, if the board votes to continue the transportation to Grace Christian, in essence, they have extended the mileage.
Do you have any other requests? Coming?
Not at this point, but they know that if it's over 15 miles, they can't. Legally, we don't have the obligation. Or what happens is it's not legal, and that's the biggest issue.
It's
unfortunately,
what?
It's not legal, and that becomes the largest.
What's the cost of the bus annually, Randy?
What's the aid amount? I couldn't tell you without sitting down and figuring it out.
Do you know what it is? I can estimate what the cost is, but I assume that has nothing to do with reality.
Can I just point out, though, it's really not about the money. As Jen pointed out, that's something we could do. I'd certainly be willing to do that for you guys, speaking for myself only. The issue, if you read that letter, is we can't legally do it. We can't decide to just say, okay, We don't have that legal authority as a board. The only way we could do it, and I'm happy to discuss this, because frankly, discussing whether, what's it going to cost, whatever, it's really moot. The only discussion we can really have is, do we want to put this in front of the voters as a proposition, basically saying we're going to extend the distance we transport students from, and this is, would have to be all students, from 15 miles to, what is it, 18.3. So, if we want to talk money, I mean, it's at least $1,000 to have an election. We've had 4 elections in the last 2 months, and my personal gut feeling on the way the community would go on this is we basically said, hey, can we please extend busing for our students? I think it would be voted down. So I think that's really the issue before us. We can't just at a meeting say, okay, we'll do it. I think what we have to do if we consider it is to make it a vote to the entire community.
Does Grace Christian have any transportation at all within the state of Vermont? Does Grace Christian School provide any transportation whatsoever to students?
Yeah, they have one in Bennington, right? It goes from North Adams, Massachusetts, up Route 7, Pownall, into Bennington.
What would be the possibility of taking these students, these Grace Christian students, dropping them off at Southshire, and then having Grace Christian pick them up there?
That was thought of. We haven't discussed that. I discussed that with the principal. The problem is coming home, because I don't know what time you pick up at Southshire.
Yeah, 20 minutes to 2.
Okay.
Or 20 minutes to 3, excuse me.
They'll miss ninth period. They'll miss the whole class.
What do they have ninth period?
Grace doesn't get out till 3 o'clock.
Do they all have the same class ninth period?
No, the elementary have their own classes in the middle school, high school.
Also, I'm pretty sure that will be seen as an attempt on our part to sidestep the law.
That's a possibility. I'm just asking the question if that might be a possibility.
You know, and if they had to go find their own bus driver, because they would love to bring kids here so we don't have this problem, but we would have to pay out of pocket for the gas for Grace to transport in addition to our tuition. And I'm not getting any compensation from my school taxes because I'm not using your transportation to do that.
Yep.
If in 2 months a student comes to Grace who is within that 15-mile range, do you go back to transporting?
Absolutely,
as you have
can.
In the past?
Absolutely. It changes the whole equation. We have to.
We have to.
Change the whole equation. Not only do we want to, we have to.
Yeah. Okay. We don't have to wait until April 1st to start for the next school year.
So.
It will happen at that moment.
No, this has changed.
If somebody made a request to me, then I would revisit and speak to Vince and Beth. We would go back and revisit it.
Okay.
Once we had an eligible student, everybody else would be included. Absolutely.
And that's why it's been done for so many years. You've always had, apparently, somebody on that end of the district.
Just quickly, to Howard's question, we had, I spoke with Emmett Prosser, who used to be a superintendent at Stillwater. They did a similar situation, transported a kid to Troy so they could get the public transportation. They got in trouble from the state. They can't do that.
No, it's a suggestion. I think they have a question for Mr. Yeah.
A question on the law, and maybe you can't answer this without the law. Is the law proscriptive in that it says you absolutely cannot transport? Is that what the lawyer is saying? Or just that we don't meet the criteria that would require transportation?
The limit is 15 miles, so you don't meet that requirement.
If you limit 15 miles, we have to transport anybody that lives within 15 miles.
Technically, from your home to the school.
I understand that much. Okay. Does the law say you cannot transport beyond that, or just that you won't get aid for anybody that
aid?
We don't have the legal authority, according to the letter, without voter approval. We can shorten the distance or lengthen the distance without voter approval.
So it's aid and authority to.
We'd have to have a vote.
You have to have a referendum.
That's you found that in that letter. It's in there.
She's great. I have not read it. I don't have my glasses.
Sue Aldrich is the one without the glasses.
Okay, is there any more public comment before we go on and officially handle this matter? Okay, item K. Recommend the board deny transportation request to Grace Christian School for the 2011-12 school year as there are no mileage eligible students per state education law requirements. I need a second. Second from Paul. Discussion up here.
I just want to make it clear that this is not at all, again, I'm speaking for myself, but I'm pretty sure the entire board feels this way. This is not at all us trying to deny you kids transportation or us trying to save money. I'm pretty sure this was already budgeted.
Was it?
So it wasn't a case of us, it's just the case that we do not have the legal authority to do this. We don't necessarily always follow the law, but we do our best to do it whenever we know, you know. And in this case, this is what we have to do. So,
we're not blaming you, okay? And there's nothing that I can say bad about the Cambridge schools. I just want my children to be able to talk freely about Jesus at any time they want to. And I want the teachers to have that freedom too. So we don't dislike Cambridge. It's just that you have certain restrictions on what teachers can and cannot say. And we don't like those restrictions. We appreciate the fact that you have provided transportation for us. We appreciate the fact that you're willing to listen to us. Your hands are tied. I understand that. The law may not be fair, or it may not even be right, but it is what it is. And so, all I would ask is, if you could table this for a month, just let us look it over. It probably won't change anything, but you're willing to vote in favor of denying this transportation request. One more month isn't going to make a difference. Just let us
we can vote next month and change it completely. I would like to have a vote, and you guys can find another student, and you can do what you can. But I think we need to take this vote. I'm very tabled for the month.
Okay,
in July or in August, we can have another vote if you find another student. There's no problem with that.
Okay. And I understand that.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
No opposed.
I'm opposed.
Oh, sorry. One opposed. Okay. We're not smiling up here, guys. We're not happy about it. Okay, that's all I want.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand. Nobody wins, but that's the way life is sometimes.
It's four more miles. I know that.
Yeah.
Everybody up there knows that. That's all it is. But it's a world of difference.
We're not blaming you or anything like that.
Okay. Item L, recommend the board approve the Cambridge Central School District goals for 2011-12 and the Board of Education goals 2011-12. Would you like a second?
Sir,
discussion.
I just have a question on that. You were saying earlier that these are the goals, and then we'll discuss the goals as we get into them. Is that what it is?
No, this makes them official. These are the ones that we have already discussed amongst ourselves, and we've had a workshop before we were on the board. And then you got copies. You got to be part of the final discussion. But these are what we've decided we're going to be aiming for over the next year. So we're going to discuss them now and present them to the public. This makes it official as far as the public is concerned, so they know where we're going.
Yeah, I brought up one of when we'd had these. I think Tom, you may have brought it up, but that bullying was on here, and now it's gone. And Paul, I thought you'd indicated that you thought you'd addressed it. I still don't see it. So
it was on. I've got two versions of it, so I think it's this one, but there may be a third version floating around that was. Middle one before we added the bullying. So I don't know.
The final.
There's one that's called revised.
I must have had the most recent copy. These are the two.
Quite frankly, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it should be in item B of the latest version. There was just a couple little changes. That was one of them.
Right.
And there may have been one or two other words.
Okay, so what we have in front of us is not really the final.
So let me just read B as it should be.
Okay.
Item B, I'm pretty sure that was the only one. So in goal number two, item B should read, the district will provide adequate training for all department coordinators and building administrators to complete the intent of this goal, including continuing education and curriculum development / coordination, classroom management, bullying, and instructional methodology.
Okay, this is not the final. This is not the one we should be voting on.
But that's really the only change. Is that really the only change? So.
So.
We can, if there's a question, let's make sure we
get. I think there's a question, so why don't we not do anything?
We'll table it.
By the way, while I was in a foreign country, they're talking about removing Facebook privileges of bullies. Like that Facebook, in France, if you are a child that bullies, Facebook will take away your access. I'm not sure that it's committed, but it's a, so it's.
That is the only change. It is the only change?
Yes.
Okay, well then why don't we just change item D? It's just adding bullying. That's it. Item D. Okay, can you read that again?
Sure, I'll read item B. Item B currently reads, this is how it should be. The district will provide adequate training for all department coordinators and building administrators to complete the intent of this goal, including continuing education and curriculum development, coordination, classroom management, bullying, and instructional methodology. So there's a little phrase in there that's to complete the intent of this goal, and then including, and then bullying is added along with the other items. And that's it. Okay, with that one correction, and these are our goals. One more. In number three, and this is definitely the last one. Number three, we have A and B, and item C is added as follows. Feedback from recent graduates as to the relevance and quality of their education at Cambridge Central School may be part of this presentation. That's a reference to the superintendent's comprehensive state of the district's academic status.
Okay, for the people out in the audience who don't know what we're talking about, we had a probably one of the more enjoyable BS sessions that this group has had together, discussing our goals. And it's kind of neat to sit around and find out what everybody else is thinking about, where they want the district to go, and how committed everybody is to trying to get there. So let me just summarize these goals, and everybody can have them once we get the.
Put them on the website.
Okay. Number one, the district will initiate a complete review, update of the district's policy manual to the completion target of September 2013. This has already been announced, but this makes it official as far as we're concerned that we're going to do it. Item two deals with several. Different items about teacher training, evaluation, basically to make sure our faculty is allowed the opportunity to become as good as they can be. Paul read part of it, some of the things, curriculum development, coordination, classroom management, etc. We also have officially in here that we are going to integrate the new state regulations, the annual professional performance review, APPR, into whatever system we have in evaluating teachers. Item three, we're going to ask the superintendent to provide at least once a year a public briefing with a comprehensive review of the district's academic status. And And this also gives some of the guidelines, including the last one that Paul corrected on feedback from previous graduates. Item four, we're going to try and increase our public input to the public through local, through more news releases and maybe some more about school happenings, specifically about student performance and money-saving things that we're doing. And number five, the district will continue to maintain our buildings and other facilities to the best of our ability. But we'll also approach other local districts this year to discuss the possibility of district consolidation, and that's what we discussed at the very beginning of this meeting. And obviously we're going to follow through on that. Then we have some goals for ourselves, Board of Education goals. The board will evaluate its current structure and consider extending members' terms from 3 to 5 years and expanding the board to 7 members. Remember, this is not something we're going to do, it's something we're going to discuss. And Lillian's already questioned me on the wisdom of that. One of those, at least the term length. We are going to reestablish a real functioning committee structure, which should help get some of our work done and get the public more involved in what we're doing. And we have a list of 7 committees, at least, that we're going to try and form. Some of them are already up in operation, and at least one will be a new one. And these include the Health and Wellness Committee, the Campus Safety Committee, Technology Committee, Building and Grounds Committee, Audit Committee, Shared Decision-Making Committee, and Energy and Conservation Committee. We're going to try and make these real, functioning, viable, and useful, not just in name only.
Actually, can I add an edit? The other edit that I was suggesting to this is that we establish a process to shut down committees. So that's...
Some of these we're not allowed to shut down.
Yeah. Audit committee's got to be there.
No, but some of these... So we are... I'm saying we should just look at establishing a process to shut down committees that we can't. Clearly not the audit committee. But shared decision-making committee.
Absolutely necessary by law.
Yeah, we have to have that.
Energy and conservation.
That's a suggestion for a new one.
Right. That's my point.
That hasn't been.
Right. So my point is.
So you're saying we shouldn't have one?
No, I'm saying we need to develop. I'm fine with establishing these, but I want to establish a criteria and a process to shut them down.
Okay.
Or else we could end up with 20 committees.
No. That should be
10 non-functioning.
That should be part of how we set them up.
That's my point.
Okay. Okay. I don't think we have to say that here, but that should be part of how we set it up. And how the meetings are run, and who's supposed to be there, and that's kind of all that stuff is for discussion. We have a busy summer ahead of us. The board will schedule 1 or more training workshops with the district attorney. District attorney. Yeah, but it sounds like we're going to have Kevin Portley come in. With our attorney during the summer of 2011 to discuss members' roles and duties, and that is at least scheduled for July 25th. Is that correct, Vince? He's not listening. July 25th is on?
July 25th.
Okay. And if we feel the need to have another one, we will do it. The board will develop a self-evaluation instrument that will be implemented no later than June of every year. That's new. I don't know if anybody's ever done that in Cambridge. So we'll see how that works out. And the board will encourage members' attendance at board training workshops provided by NISBA and similar organizations. And I feel the need that we should be doing more of that. So that's it in a quick and dirty summary, and Vince will put these on the website. So, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any negatives? No. Okay, so that's what we have to do over the next year, folks. Any other public comment at this point? Yes.
I have a question. How many times a year does the teacher get evaluated?
I'll pass that over to Vince.
Depends on whether or not the individual is non-tenured or tenured. Non-tenured is 3 times a year. Tenured at this point is a professional performance review. So
the reason why I'm asking is because I've had several high school students that have come in to where I work, and I believe my nephew, Nicholas Rowland, was also one of these students in her classes. And her way of extra help after school and I'm sorry I can't remember this math teacher's name, she hands a booklet. And all the kids
that's not a discussion we should be having here. That's a discussion you should have privately, I think, a specific teacher with the superintendent and or principal, not here in public. Sorry to stop you, but it's not something that happens now.
I have another question.
Go ahead.
Okay, so we have no field hockey now, but we had a big concern about the 62,000 tennis court that we want to save, which is in priority 3, because I've gone to all the meetings for the building. I don't understand that whatsoever. $62,000 to repair the tennis court that nobody uses in this public, except for a few.
It gets used quite a bit by the community.
But the students, because it's there for the kids, not the community.
The kids use it. I think you're saying we shouldn't have tennis courts because we don't have a tennis team?
We don't have a tennis team. We've never had a tennis team.
And my response is, they're not the tennis team's courts, they're the community's courts.
Well, my understanding that the reason they didn't have field hockey is that there weren't enough kids that wanted to have it.
Right, but they want to repair a $62,000 tennis court for the community. And I think we've already had this discussion. If the community wants one, they will build one. I just don't understand that.
It's not in the project.
Right, I know it's not in the project.
So it's a non-issue right now. Okay, any other public comment? Okay, we have an executive session.
There's no need.
Nothing needed. The executive session, I move to adjourn. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned. August except for our board workshop.
Nice.
August 15th is the next regular meeting.
All right.